Praise God. Let's go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We just thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you for this school and what's coming out of this school, the teaching, the anointing, the impartation, the mantles that we're receiving, Lord God. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for your manifested presence, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for our Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., for the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. And we thank you for Word of Life Christian Center, Lord God, and this ever-increasing school of ministry, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for your presence to show up, because, Lord God, if your presence does not show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I yield, and I'm completely and totally submitted to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to continue teaching along the same lines. And I did bring the supplemental book. Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. recommended me add this into the curriculum about 3 years ago. The name of the book is called Overcoming Pride. It wasn't a book that was put on your curriculum book as far as a book that you get. You don't have to pick it up. The author, he's an Hispanic, an apostle. I'm trying to pronounce his name. I'm going to spell it because I'm going to chew it up. The first name is G-U-I-L-L-E-R-M-O. The last name is M-A-L-D-O-N-A-D-O. And the name of the book is called Overcoming Pride. So I'm hoping that the people on the internet can see it. Like I said, I'm teaching directly from it, and all the material you're going to need is going to be taught from my teaching. So you don't have to get it, but if you want to get it just for your supplemental reading and to keep up, we'll be using this book this class and next class, and then from there we'll probably switch back over to our main book on the spirit of honor. Amen. All right, last week we talked about the spirit of Leviathan. And we said that Leviathan was like a sea monster, a sea creature. And there's a lot of symbolism to Leviathan and to pride, because that spirit, it runs synonymous with pride. And we're going to be talking more about it and getting a little bit more into detail about it. But one of the things I want to point out here is that Leviathan, or pride, as I stated last week, is the root of all sin. And we talked about how Satan, who was, before he was Satan, he was Lucifer, and he was in heaven, and how he wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God, and he was lifted up with pride, and pride was the reason for his fall. Currently, in the body of Christ, there's a resurgence or a resurfacing of the apostolic office of the apostle. And we're seeing that more and more in this generation. Let me just read a few things here. The apostle or the apostleship is an eternal office. It did not go away with the last apostle, which was John on the Isle of Patmos. The apostleship has its roots embedded in the great apostle, who is Jesus Christ, or better known, sometimes the scripture talks about him as being the chief apostle. This office of the apostle brings the church back into alignment with the will, the purpose, the vision, and the plan of God for establishing God's kingdom. And the reason why I'm sharing this, because I want you to get the parallel of how with how can I say this? An apostle is first in rank in ministry. And every other ministry gift should take their lead or their marching orders from apostolic government. You know, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher. But what has happened for so long is because a lot of talented, or I shouldn't say talented, but anointed, called men of God, not knowing how to humble themselves and submit properly to proper leadership and to proper protocol, they have let the spirit of Leviathan or the spirit of pride cause them to be renegades, lone rangers, standing alone, thinking that I can get it without having to submit to God's government. And you see, God in these last days, he's restoring government. He's restoring government. You know, there's a scripture I always quote, talks about how good and precious the anointing, how the anointing flows down from Aaron, who was the high priest. It flows down his head. Once it's poured upon him, it flows down his head, down his beard, down his garment. And the reason why it talks about that anointing all flowing down, the anointing always flows down from the top all the way down to the skirt, to every part of the body of Christ, right down to the feet. So wherever you are in the body of Christ, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're in the ministry of helps, whether you're in the praise ministry or the music ministry, when you are properly aligned, properly positioned, you know, that anointing flows down. But as I stated earlier, a lot of times because of pride, people have allowed, you know, pride to keep them out of that flow, out of that alignment that God has purpose for it to be in their lives, so that they can get what they need in order to be successful in ministering. So we have learned and understand just how important this office is to government and the properly functioning of the church and the kingdom. We also learn why the church has been stagnant, you know, in her advancement over the years because of the absence of this office. But now that this office of apostle is coming back to the forefront, it's very important. Matter of fact, it's vital that we learn how to submit properly, because all of this has everything to do with honor. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you're talking about honor, but there are things that hinder people from properly flowing in honor. One of those things is pride. Pride will hinder you from flowing in the honor that God wants us to flow in. And we need to know how to function properly in honor. We are coming to understand the generalship of this office of the apostle in the church. It's first in rank and importance and of necessity for the kingdom of God to advance. When you think about a general, you think about somebody who's in charge over a large regiment or platoon or military base. A lot of times you have a ranking general who presides over certain military installations. Well, in the spirit world, it's the same way. And in military protocol, you submit to people who are in authority. And in spiritual protocol, it's no different. And it's so very important that we understand that and we function and flow in that. All other ministry gifts should take their direction and their marching orders from the office of the apostle. Even the prophet can go off in prophecy without sound doctrine that is received from a heaven-to-earth connection from the apostolic office. Satan has caused a division through the spirit of pride, causing many spiritual leaders not to yield, not to submit to government by misaligning themselves and going off and just being lone rangers instead of connecting properly to get everything that God has for them. In the book of Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 1 through 4. You can turn there if you want to. Like I said, I just keep going for the sake of time. But in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, it talks about there were a group of believers, ministry gifts that were gathered together. It says, now they were in the church that were at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Saul, that's called Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Martin, which were brought up by Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, those people laying their hands upon them are people who are in spiritual authority. And a lot of times when hands are laid on you for ministry, it's conferring your ministry gift, conferring, and there's always, there's a transference of anointing to equip you to do the work that you're called to do. The Holy Ghost said to separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And they had prayed and fasted. Those apostolic leaders laid their hands on them. And it says that when they laid their hands, says, and when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands upon them, they sent them away. They were commissioned to go. They didn't just went, but they were commissioned to go. And that's so very important. Pride will cause you just to step out on your own. Step out without a proper covering. Step out, you know, independently of government and protocol. And that's what we don't want. We want to stay inside of God's divine will, divine order, divine protocol. Like I stated earlier, the anointing always flows down. And if you're not positioned properly, you're not going to get everything you need in order to be successful in ministry and also in life. And that's why positioning is so important. They were sent with marching orders. I'm talking about Barnabas and Saul. They were sent with marching orders, not just went out on their own. Pride will cause many to go forward into ministry before properly being sent out by government. And what happens when that takes place, people get out of order spiritually, and it short circuits the anointing. It short circuits what God wants to do in their lives. And we're aiming through the spirit of honor, properly serving, properly submitting, properly yielding to delegated authority. By doing these things, God now is able to channel his flow of anointing, his flow of blessing through your life. Believe me when I'm saying, like I use the illustration with my son and even my daughter. When they were younger, I had no problem reaching in my back pocket, giving them anything they needed when they submitted properly, when they did what they were told, when they showed respect and honor to my wife and to myself. But the minute I sense rebellion, the minute I sense, you know, you can't tell me what to do, well then, if you think you're a man or a woman, well then you make it on your own, you know. But as long as they submit properly, and you see, you know, the Bible says, we being evil who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit or give us what we need when we properly submit to delegated authority? And that's so very important. Let me just give you an illustration here. You don't just go and start a McDonald's. One day you get this idea, I'm going to go open me a franchise at the corner of 44 and 22. That's not going to happen. Before you first have to put in a request and have a business scope and whatever they do and go to headquarters and say, we would like to start a franchise, a McDonald's franchise. And then they're going to tell you how many millions of dollars you're going to need in order to invest to get this capital project going. But studies are going to be done. Of the demographics, of the location, the traffic flow, the patterns, you know, what's the potential sale, and very few McDonald's go out of business. Very few. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of detail upfront stuff that's done before they stick a McDonald's somewhere. So it's not just haphazardly done. So why should somebody just out the blue say, I'm gonna start me a church right here. Without first getting the proper instruction and the protocol and flowing properly. And that's so very important. Why do good Christians think they could just go and start a church anywhere? This is a deceptiveness of pride coming into play. Satan, even though he was the fallen angel, Bible says he fell like lightning from heaven, he still seeks to exalt himself above God. But he's doing that through the deceptions of pride and inflicting that pride upon people. And that's so very important that we know how to recognize it and stand against it. Now he attempts to do this with the vehicle of man by specifically targeting churches and leaders and trying to keep them disconnected from a proper covering. It hurts me when I see young men and young women have a call of God on their lives, want to be used by God, that they'll sit for a season, but because they got ants in their pants and they want to get up and go and do something, they leave without all the proper credentials, proper anointings, and the seasoning of ministry that it takes to be successful. One of the things you have to recognize is that Satan is out there, and for each anointing, there's tactics, there's strategies that Satan used to try to destroy you. You know, if you go out there saying I'm a prophet, well then you're going to get a prophet onslaught from the enemy. There's a grace that's upon each particular gift, and if you're not graced for something. I mean by grace, God has placed his grace, his anointing upon you to operate in that office. Well, then you all of a sudden start calling yourself something. You're in for a rude awakening because you don't have the equipment you need, you know, to properly function in an office that you say that you're called to. That can be devastating. Matter of fact, that can end your life quickly, you know. But pride is the thing, you know, that in most cases, pride and ignorance that causes people to step out immaturely. There is a measure of safety and protection bestowed upon ministry gifts when they are properly positioned in ministry offices. Apostle Thompson, during one Sunday service, talked about an apostolic grace upon those who are properly connected under a covering. Satan, through trickery and deception, he schemes from the spirit of Leviathan with the use of pride to deceive ministry gifts into thinking, I can do this on my own. There's three aspects and three things that you're going to need to know that the enemy uses to try these three characteristics. The first one is stubbornness. Stubbornness means a steadfastness not to change, just being stubborn, you know. The next one is inflexibility. Inflexibility is an unwillingness to change, not standing, not bending. A person who's inflexible, they have what you call a stiff neck. A lot of times the Bible talks about the Israel as being a stiff-necked people. In other words, when that neck is just, I'm not moving. You know, sometimes if toddlers, when they get to a certain age, they'll get to the point where, you know, they'll just stand up there and just, I'm not going to do it, you know. And it takes the rod of correction to cause them to bend a little bit. You know, they'll try to challenge you, you know. If you've been a parent, you know what I'm talking about. But it takes that rod of correction. See, that's a stiff neck, you know. And that's why it, you know, really, to be honest with you, that's why the Bible says to train up a child while they're young, because when they get old, they won't depart from it. But if that training is not there at a certain age, or getting into teen years and early 20s, it's hard for them to turn, because they've never been bent. Their neck's been stiff too long, you know. And it talks about stiff-necked people, and that's inflexibility. Another aspect of pride is hardness of heart, not sensitive to God, a calloused heart. Callous means cold, means hard. You know, when a person's heart is hard, they can't hear God clearly. And pride will cause your heart to get hard. It'll cause it to get callous, cold, and insensitive to the move of the Spirit, insensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You always want to keep your heart pliable. Pliable means you can bend it. It's flexible. There's no stubbornness there, and it's willing to change. And that's so very important. And you need to know these characteristics of Leviathan. The Bible, and well, we talked about this already. The Bible, I don't want to keep hitting on the fact that it talks about Leviathan as symbolic of a serpent in the sea. But in Isaiah 27, it says here, it says, in that day the Lord will deliver Israel from her enemies and also from the rebel powers of evil and darkness. His sharp and unlinting, great and strong sword will visit and punish Leviathan, the swifting, fleeting serpent, Leviathan, the twisting and winding serpent. He will slay the monster that is in the sea. So it's talking about God slaying that spirit. You know, some authors, when I did a study on Leviathan, even talked about Leviathan as being not just a demonic power, but actually a principality that rules over regions and over people to keep them from fulfilling and doing the will of God, and to keep them bound up in arrogance and pride and not flowing, and not just, you know, just like he was, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. Pride always has that I factor involved. You know, and the opposite to that is humility. Humility says, you know, of my own self, I really can't do anything. You know, humility says, you know, I'm just a man, you know, with limited abilities. But when you come in total unison, in total submission, yieldingness to God, now you take on his ability. I use the illustration, I talked about it in other classes, where you literally become changed into another man. When you yield yourself to God, you literally become changed into another man or another woman, because it's no longer you that live it, but it's Christ that's living through you. And every word you speak, everything, every expression is God expressing himself through you, because you recognize that it's not you. Now, I'm up here ministering, but I recognize it's really not me. I recognize that as I stayed in my prayer, God, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. Why? Because I'm just a mere man. You know, even though I know the word, I've been saved for a while, but Lord, these are your people. You know what they need. And I'm just a yielded vessel. And when you get that attitude of humility, God is able to use you. And what happens is now you're operating in honor, because it's you know, before honor comes humility. Before honor comes humility, amen? And that's so very important that we recognize and understand the importance of operating in humility. I got 25 minutes. Let's see this. All right. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan, which is pride, is by the anointing, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan, which is pride, is by the anointing, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless in our own ability. We are powerless without Jesus. Humbleness and humility begins by recognizing our limitations and our dependency upon God. I was actually humbled today. I was reading the scripture, and we're going to get to it in a minute. A person who operates in pride doesn't sense the importance of prayer, because prayer, when you pray, you communicate with God, and you're either asking for something or you're praying on a certain scale for something, but it's a two-way conversation. In the last several weeks, I've been really busy doing a lot of things. And one of the things the apostle has us doing is reading chapters and reading verses and praying for, you know, 25, 30 minutes, an hour. And sometimes I had gotten so busy that it would be late in the day that I'd get my scriptures read and pray. And some days at the end of the day, I'm so tired, I just hit the bed and say, I'll just do two chapters next week, next tomorrow. And when I read that, you know, pride doesn't feel the need to pray. The Lord really just it's like a slap in the face. So you telling me that, you know, you can put off something that, you know, communicating and spending time with me, and that you can make it on your own this day. That's what I'm saying. When you're given an instruction by apostolic authority, you got to recognize that's something that's been given by God. So I'm sitting in my chair, and the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. I said, Lord, I repent, you know, because even though I have a lot of responsibilities and things I'm doing, nothing is more important than spending time with God. Nothing. You don't want to substitute nothing for that, because in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And that's so very important. All right. Arrogant people do not depend upon God for their survival, nor do they seek help to achieve their goal. They rely on their own strength to obtain their heart's desires, because they think that they could do it in their own ability. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride does not consider, here it is right here, does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan, that's in the book, or pride, does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. And then it says here in Job 41 and 3, it says, will he make many intercessions unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? The spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride, is an obstacle of prayer. People who find it hard to pray are bound by the influence of Leviathan. When you find it hard to pray, it's pride that's rising up. Because what you're saying is, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I got my own agenda. And it's recognizing that without God, there would be no agenda. Matter of fact, there shouldn't be an agenda, but His agenda, you know. And when you put His agenda first, well, then God now is going to bless you, you know. And it was, you know, even today, I was at the house, and we're bringing stuff back in our house. We got everything finished. We're just putting the furniture back in and the finishing touches. And the Lord had me, because of the flood that happened, the Lord had me to drive around my subdivision. I went to get something to eat around 1 o'clock. And so I just made a pass around two or three streets. And I'm seeing houses with for sale signs on them. I'm seeing houses gutted with nothing happening, nothing moving. Others, people were hauling in insulation. I said, Lord, I did that a month and a half ago. And people, you know, putting sheetrock up. Mine's been painted for 3 weeks or better, you know. And then God just began to humble me. And he was showing me, he said, son, he said, when you're connected properly, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it for your good. You know, there's always a promotion in a test, you know. And don't, because there were times I would tell my wife, I said, I'm tired of, you know, the room being in disarray. You got boxes over here, and I'm looking for a particular item that normally is there, but it's not there anymore because everything is in disarray, and we're getting everything back in the proper order, you know. And I would get discouraged, but the Lord told me, he said, don't get discouraged and through the process, because the process is training for you, you know. Because see, a lot of times, spiritually, you can be in a position where things are not comfortable. You know, you feel like I'm not progressing like I should. You know, in our renovation progress, even though we well ahead of the pack, I felt uncomfortable. I said, Lord, I got a lot of things going on in ministry and work. I don't have time for this. And let me tell you how gracious God is. I was actually called, I'm getting off the subject, I was actually called for jury duty today. I reported downtown at the courthouse, been subpoenaed to be on the grand jury. And I'm driving there, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, I don't want this. I got too much going on. I said, there ought to be a reprieve for people who are going through this, you know. And lo and behold, I get there, the lady asks three questions. Says, anybody over 70? One person raised their hand and said, well, if you want to, you can be excused. You don't have to. You know, you have the option. Are there any college students? Two people raised their hand. Well, you know, you can stay if you want to, but, you know, you can, you know, you're exempt if you're in college. And then the third question, anybody was affected by the flood? I raised my hand up. You can go. I say, praise God. You know, but see, that's just the favor of God. You know, so now I can go home and relax and do some things. And, you know, but I guess what I'm saying, even through this process, the flesh at times would just get, I tell my wife, I say, look, if I'm irritable, just because things is not, I want it to speed up, you know. But God is working with you through the process, and you can't allow, and even from a spiritual point of view, because he was looking, sharing that with me from a spiritual point of view, you know, don't think that things not happening just because you don't see nothing moving. Things are always moving in the spirit world, and you gotta let the process work itself through, because God is going to bring you through better than you were before. You know, you might be having problems in your marriage, or problems with your parents, or problems in at work or whatever. Don't get discouraged. You know, when you walk in honor and walk in righteousness, God's going to see you through the process, and it's going to come out better than it was before. Amen. All right, let me move on. I got 17 minutes. Okay, I said that a person influenced with the spirit of Leviathan or pride does not consider prayer an important part of their prayer life. The spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride, is an obstacle for prayer. People who find it hard to pray are bound under the influence of Leviathan. Arrogant people are unable to understand the need and the importance of prayer. One of the things I taught in a class a while back is you never want to start any spiritual endeavor that you can't first blanket with prayer, because prayer is the foundation for every spiritual endeavor. You know, you just don't want to start something. Let me give you an illustration. I always go back to my college days, because God dealt with me real strong back then, and he still does now, but those times back then helped fortify me from where I am today. I was a senior, and I was about to graduate, and had like two semesters left, and I was really unsure about where to go from here. I was majoring in psychology, enjoyed the field, did well in it, but my heart was yearning for ministry, because I was part of a campus ministry. Actually, I led a campus ministry, and I'm saying, Lord, what to do? And my wife, who at that time was really, we were just dating. She said, well, you need to just go and spend time with God and just see what God wants to do. So I remember going out to a park and finding a secluded spot in some bushes. And when you go inside this thing of bushes, nobody can see you. And I just went there with just my Bible, just praying, just seeking God, you know. And God, you know, I didn't get an immediate answer, but I was just, Lord, I need some direction, you know. The next semester, I made the decision that, Lord, I'm going to go to Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I shared this with you before. But the Lord, and I believe because of my prayer, the Lord had a different direction. And when he saw that I was making a plan that you know, was a good plan, but it wasn't a God plan, he intervened and he told me no. And in the process, after that, 10 years went by, where I'm just kind of not doing anything in ministry, but just waiting. You know, all of this has to do with honor, just waiting. And then the Lord one day had me come to Darrell to meet the apostle, to meet Dr. Thompson. And from that point on, 25 years ago, my life has not been the same at all. You know, after I met him and joined the church, couple of months later, the school of ministry started. All of a sudden, that light came back on. This is where I want you to go, you know. And I'll never forget at one meeting that he was at, where Kenneth Hagin was at the meeting. I was his meeting, and the apostle was there sitting under his spiritual father. And the Lord spoke to my heart. Matter of fact, I was sitting right next to the apostle. I was sitting on the end. The apostle was sitting in. I was sitting in the aisle. The apostle was sitting on the end, and Kenneth Hagin was in the aisle, and he was leaning over me,
preaching to the apostle. The only reason I was closer because I was in the way because my chair was in the aisle. But while he was speaking that, the Lord told me, he said, son, you're in my perfect will. He said, even though you wanted to follow this man, I've called you to follow this man. And don't think that you're not getting what you need. You're getting everything that you need because you're following divine order. You're getting aligned properly. And that's when I begin to learn about alignment, because I talk a lot about alignment. You have to be aligned properly. Not every idea is a God idea. Make sure that what God is giving you is coming from the throne of God. And a lot of times, if you have a pastor or an apostle that we have, you always want to, I think God is leading me to do this. And if he says no, you back away. You know, because God's going to always give him, you know, insight, because if you're under his care, you know, you're under that covering, and that covering is going to protect you. But see, people who walk in pride, they're going to, you know, pastor might tell them to hold up. I say, well, I don't have anything. And I see him, well, you know, he don't have anything, but I got something, so I'm going with it. And then they go out and they fall flat on their face, you know, and the pastor, you know, I told him I didn't have, but I'm not going to stop you. But you're stepping out on your own, and you want a proper alignment is so very important. Let's move on. I talked about that. Okay. The spirit of Leviathan does not make covenant with anybody because it's an independent spirit. The spirit of Leviathan or pride does not make covenant. A covenant is a pledge, it's a vow, it's an agreement between two or more people. And a covenant is only broken by death. When you're in covenant with somebody, you know, a marriage relationship is a covenant. That should be till death do you apart. A lot of times people get divorced, and pride has a lot to do with that, because pride caused a person to have a stiff neck. And they won't bend. They won't change. They won't say I'm sorry. You know. And see that all stems from Satan. It all stems from not knowing how to yield to God. You know. But you see. But when you begin to walk in true humility will cause you to bend in the direction of God. To yield and to submit properly. And not. It's not I, but it's Lord, not I, but you know, but Christ that living on the inside of me. Lord, what's your will for me? And that's so very important. That is so very important. Let's go back to covenant. It never submits or serves anybody. We're talking about pride. Pride is an obstacle to those who enter into covenant or friendship or sonship. People under the influence of the spirit of pride, as I stated earlier, they're long rangers. They ride along. They don't want to take orders. In other words, they do not want to serve well under spiritual covering because they don't like to submit. They don't like to fall under the mission or the vision of another person because they want their own vision. They want their own agenda. A person who walks in pride generally has their own agenda. You know, whenever somebody starts talking about what I endeavor, and they're not, because you see, one of the things I've learned, if you're not willing to submit yourself to another man's ministry, how do you think God's going to give you your own? He's not. You know, you have to first submit. And a person walking in pride do not want to submit. Amen? All right. Pride says, I'm right and you're wrong. Pride blinds people's eyes. It makes them unable to recover or walk in a covenant they have through the blood of Jesus. Sometimes people are get into covenant with you, but because of pride, their eyes now are blinded. And what they used to see, they can't see no more. You know, I hate to use this illustration, but should I use this? It's almost like you get double vision or you get blurred vision when you walk in pride. You know, all of a sudden you were seeing straight and you was focused properly,
and you start walking in pride, all of a sudden now, you know, the vision that you're called to gets blurry. You can't see it clearly anymore, because pride won't let you see, because it's got a grip on you. But pride will let you see yourself and what you need to be doing, and cause you to veer off in another direction. It makes them unable to receive accurate revelation and impartation from God. They are not serving God, or they're not hearing God's voice properly. Okay, another aspect of pride: wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Pride does not want to serve, it wants to lead. A person, a servant of Christ, is a believer who serves people. A true man or woman of God walks in servitude. Their desire is that they want to serve. Lord, I just want to serve. I just want to serve in whatever capacity that it is that you've called me to serve. But if you serve, and when you're walking in pride, pride will prevent you from serving and submitting properly. You will have an ulterior motive and your own agenda when you operate in pride. Humbleness is a requirement to serve the people. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person full of pride wants the entire world to submit to him and to serve him. I shared this last week. A major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have served under somebody whom they consider have less knowledge than they do, or have less years in ministry than they do. They don't want to do that because they feel that it's beneath them, you know. But like I said, God has he has order, he has ranks, and he has protocol. And it's very important that we follow the ranks, follow the protocol. Says, if you're experiencing a difficult time submitting or serving to others, this is an indication that you are under the influence of Leviathan and that you're walking in pride. Jesus was a perfect example of somebody walking in true humility. Now, he said in Philippians, he says, Lord, you know, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm become as a servant, and I'm going to stoop even further and give up my life. You know, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. True humility, you know, doing the will of the Father. Jesus always did the will of the Father. And see, when you serve, you serve and you do the will of the person God has placed you under, and you serve and you serve with honor. And that's staying with the agenda. You know, whatever direction the apostle is walking, I'm walking in the same direction, because I don't have any other agenda. My agenda is the vision of this ministry, and whatever ministry you're a part of, that needs to be your agenda, the agenda of your pastor or the person that God has called you to, because it's so very important that we serve properly. Amen. All right, got a few more minutes. Pride is always controversial. It's always disagreeable. It's arrogant. People they snap at you. They you know, always, how can I say this? You know, it wants its own way, and it's not satisfied until it can have its way. It delights in knowing that a person who dares to oppose him, he likes to shred them in pieces, you know, verbally, a person who operates in pride. Let's see here. Okay, here's a good one. The spirit of pride is eliminated by always walking in humility. The spirit of pride is eliminated always walking in humility. When you walk in humility, you're not giving pride any food. You're not giving pride anything to incubate itself. You know, when you walk in true, total humility, you are allowing yourself to, and I always said, when you submit, you fall under the mission of whom you're submitted to. That's true submission, humility. A lot of times people look at humility as being weakness. But when you look at it from a position of Christ, when you submit, he says, you know, I became weak that you might become strong. You know, I died that you might live. There's an exchange. Because when you're in covenant, see, a covenant will eliminate a weakness. So when you come in covenant with somebody who's stronger, you take upon their strength. And they take your weakness, but your weakness is exchanged now for their strength. You know, so when I stand and I minister, I'm ministering under an apostolic anointing because it's technically not my anointing, but I'm because I submit the same spirit that flows through the vein of this ministry, and not just myself, anybody who's under and submitted to the apostle, you know, and serving properly, they have access to that apostolic anointing because of true humility. Humility helps people to identify who and what, it lets us recognize our total dependency on Christ. Humility will let you recognize your total dependency on Christ. Humility helps us identify who and what we are without exalting ourselves above measure. And that's so very important. Humbleness is not a decision, but the recognition of who we are. Recognizing our value in God makes us truly humble. You know, I'm humbled when I see God's blessings, and I know that I didn't have nothing to do with it. It's humility, you know, and by walking in humility, you're walking in honor. And man, got about a minute. Before Proverbs 18 and 12, you need to know that. Proverbs 18 and 12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. In other words, pride goeth before the fall. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Just the opposite. Before destruction, the heart of a man's heart is haughty. You know, in other words, he's walking in destruction because he's walking in a haughty or a prideful, an arrogant, a stubbornness, a stiff-necked position. But before honor, you're going to walk in humility. When you walk in true God-given humility, God's going to exalt you because it's not about you. You know, I tell people this all the time. It's not about me, you know, but it's about me doing the will of God for my life. You know, and when you get let that characteristics absorb itself in you, then God can use you because, you know, you're putting him first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, seeking him first. And seeking his will and his purpose for your life. And by doing that, he says all things are going to be added unto you, and you're going to walk in true God-given honor and humility. Amen. We'll see you guys next week.